Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle bringing you our first in-season show of the Penn State football season, coming to you, of course, from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We've got Penn State, Idaho on our minds. A recap of that 79-7 beatdown to kick off the season. Greg shaking his head like that probably shouldn't happen, but it did. And Penn State looked pretty sharp doing it. So we're going to run down through that. We're going to hear from James Franklin on some of the more popular themes that came from that game. So we'll play his quotes and discuss that and break that down. Before we get into that, though, Greg, new commit on Sunday night, of course. There wasn't quite enough going on. Greg's in the middle of a move, bought a house, was previewing the season. Now we kick off the season.
Yeah.
And just when he sits down on the couch and puts his feet up, Devin Willock, a three-star offensive tackle from New Jersey, commits number 24 in the 2020 class. Besides resentment, how do you feel about Willock?
Good player. This is a guy who was trending at Penn State's way for a while, I think. You know, 6'7", 360 is what he's listed at. He's ranked. I love when they do that. They list him as a guard, and then they rank him as a tackle. So it does tell you at least that he's a guy who could play inside or outside the next level. You know, it's if he actually is 6'7", which I don't know if he is, because then if you look a little bit lower in his 247 sports profile, he's listed at 6'5". So either way, he can play inside or outside. Good player, had a pretty decent offer list. It was a guy trending Penn State's way for a while, and they finally closed the deal.
Well, you love the length and size, and you know, if he's light enough on his feet to handle tackle, that will probably be the ideal scenario. Commitment number 24 in Penn State's class. Good class, going to be a monster class as we go forward. Let's talk about Idaho. 79-7. Any feeling by you that 79 points was overkill? Like to me, like I know people are talking about that, but
why? But come on,
The starters were not in.
Michael Schuster and Nick Heurey engineered a touchdown drive. It's not the backup player's fault that Idaho's first team defense couldn't stop them. It's not Penn State's players' fault that Penn State scheduled a team that dropped to the FCS ranks. I mean, that team was very bad. I don't think that's, you know, I don't think that's any great statement to make. It's true. I mean, but what are you going to do? I mean, they weren't, it's not like they were throwing bombs down the field. It's not like they were doing the Pittsburgh a couple years ago where they were heaving it up 50.
They'll do that again if they get the opportunity.
Oh, I know. I can't wait to have that conversation. But, you know, I think that it was... They tried as best they could to call the dogs off as early as possible. Think how many times Trace McSorley was in games because James Franklin would say afterwards that the other team had a chance to come back and yada, 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 all this stuff, and it just wasn't true. But they pulled the starters as quickly as they could in the second half, and the third and fourth string guys went out there and actually played pretty well. And Idaho had no answer. So to the people wondering about running the score up, I just don't know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think just from the beginning, they were committed to rotating a bunch of guys in anyway. It's not like – and maybe that's the philosophy moving forward no matter what. But you saw a lot of reserves early. There's a fine line now between reserves and starters in some of these spots, so you have to keep an eye on that. But Penn State would play a lot of guys even before they built a big lead, so I don't know what the big deal is there.
I mean, it is what it is. That team was so bad that
it was going to be hard not to score
points. I think you, Jim, and I might have been able to go out there and get first downs, quite honestly.
Considering the number of first downs that Penn State had, 35 to Idaho's mm-hmm. 5, I think you might not be wrong about that. Here's what I think, though. Like, I know this is a bad Idaho team. It might be the worst team that Penn State's opened with in the James Franklin era.
Oh, it's not even close, yeah.
However, this was the first time that I can remember in a while where Penn State exceeded my expectations, too.
I would agree with that.
I understand the dynamic at play here. This was not a good football team.
Right.
It would look like a mediocre FCS team. I get that.
They're supposed to make the playoffs this year. That punter was an All-American last year. I'm not sure how that happened.
I think he got rattled.
The only thing I can think of is it's either that or they were literally trying to hit it off a Penn State player's back with hopes of recovering the fumble. That's the only thing, the only possible thing I can think of besides the fact that he just didn't have his best day.
That's some next level thinking there.
How about that analysis?
673 yards of offense. As I mentioned, 35 first downs, 7 sacks, probably should have been a shutout, but don't ask James Franklin about that.
Man, he was upset on the sideline.
Oh, he was.
I think he
wanted that shutout. And I think we talked about it when we were looking ahead to this matchup last week that this is one of the reasons why it's hard to ever forecast a shutout. Because in these late game situations, weird things could happen. Sean Clifford's performance, obviously we need to start with that. I saw what everybody else saw and what everybody was discussing afterwards, including Sean Clifford, that he was wired to start this game.
Yep.
We had seen some Trace McSorley wired to start games and overthrows and stuff like that. But once he settled in, I know he was more or less thrown against air. He looked exactly how I thought he would look. Yep. Just the whole combination of skills, but you hope moving forward that'll be a good thing to look at for Buffalo, is to see how quickly can he settle into games? Can he settle into the Buffalo game faster than he settled in against Idaho?
I mean, I was after talking to him after the game, he basically told the story of how KJ Hamler calmed him down, and he knew that he was a little too amped up for prime time. So I think that he'll be just fine in this Buffalo game. Now, if he's not, we'll have something to discuss. But to go back to a point you made a few minutes ago, Dustin, the fact that Penn State actually, kind of followed through on what their goal was, which was, of course, to play like a combined. I was thinking on the way out of here today, when's the last time they played a full 60 minutes of football from top to bottom, first team to fourth string? I mean, there's not really a whole heck of a lot outside of the punt fumble. There's not really a whole heck of a lot to complain about. I mean, you have the Pat Freiermuth injury, which they spent, at Big Ten Media Days, Bill Carollo, the head of officials for the Big Ten, spent darn close to an hour talking about the new targeting reviews and everything else, and then Pat Freiermuth gets popped in the head, and it just is business as usual. I don't understand how that wasn't looked at, but
yeah, I agree.
Outside of that, and outside of that, and the couple, three penalties, the three penalties and the fumble, I don't know what you have to complain about at this point. I mean, I thought everything went just as expected, and they really exceeded the expectations. That's a good way to put it. And not only that, but they played a full 60 minutes of football, which you just don't see too often from them.
Well, the same dude who popped Freiermuth got hit with a targeting call later.
Right, correct, yeah.
So there was a little bit of headhunting happening late night. But I don't know. I mean, if you're a tiny little Idaho safety and you're getting steamrolled by a bigger, better team, what are you left with? So, I was surprised Freiermuth that was not called. Right off the bat, we had a targeting call get walked back on Garrett Taylor, which I'm glad they walked that one back. This just I'm in favor of the review process because
it does work.
It is it is such a severe penalty and such an impactful thing. Look at Cam Brown having to sit out the first half of this game because of that. They need to take a good look at that. Sean Clifford, good day for him. Good day for the backfield, I thought too. Now one of the issues that I guess I had earlier, it took a good solid 15-20 game minutes, maybe closer to 15, for things to open up. There were a lot of runs that kind of didn't go anywhere.
Right.
So, maybe as the game went on, they found their rhythm and they started owning the line of scrimmage a little bit. I would have liked to have seen them, if we're nitpicking,
yes,
own the line of scrimmage from the
start.
Snap.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I thought they played fairly well as the game went on. I thought Des Holmes had a really nice day as the backup left tackle. They moved Rasheed Walker over to the right side to get him some work over there. I'll be curious to see if Des Holmes doesn't surpass Will Fries as the starting tackle at some point. I that's one thing I'm curious about, to see how that progresses moving forward. I do find it fascinating that we heard so much last year from James Franklin, from Matt Limegrover, about needing five guys to play and not having continuity. And now it's, now the philosophy has turned on its head and it's like, oh, let's play nine guys in a game and see what happens. So I don't know if it was just Idaho or not. We'll have to wait and find out. Obviously, they're going to play at least three guards, are going to play probably three tackles, so time will tell. But you're right. It would have been nice to see those guys push around Idaho from start to finish.
Now, there are a few different rotations and a few different positions where I'm curious if it was just Idaho mm-hmm. or if some of that's going to continue. The safeties, the defensive tackles are two of them I'm curious to see. The running backs, to see how that rotation unfolds as the season goes on, especially as you see all five of those guys, including Nick Urie, late in this game, rumble and stumble on his way to a touchdown. These account for 7 touchdowns in all. All the running backs had bright moments. I don't think there was anything that you could really take away from that situation and think you can apply it to later, other than the fact that maybe Devin Ford, I'm curious what, you know, Buffalo will be an interesting one because now you're looking at some of these freshmen potentially playing in game two, where maybe if they're playing against Buffalo, you can get some kind of feeling right. what the plan is for him. But Devin Ford with that long run, again, a lot of air there. He sort of beat one guy and he was right. off to the races. Justin Shorter was the fastest guy in that race down the field. Reminded me of Chris Godwin on that Saquon Barkley Rose yes. Bowl run, getting down the field and blocking.
Yep.
Ford might have been caught from behind had Shorter not come down there and done
and
that.
And he didn't block him in the back. He didn't clip him. He just shielded him, which was perfect.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make too much of a deal about that being a Jarrett Parker thing, but I think it is. And I think that's a technique and fundamental thing that they work on in practice that maybe we wouldn't have seen a year ago. So, yeah, I mean, all went, I think, as well as it could for Penn State in this opener. Obviously, we have a lot of other stuff to get to, but you know, I'd be curious, and I'm sure we'll get plenty of feedback on this, but how the folks' parking plans went, because it was a little dicey, I think, depending on when you got there, which way you went in, etc. All I'm going to say is you better leave at 5:30 to get to the pick game, because that noon start is going to be a mess. It always is a mess, and it's going to be even messier now.
You must have been taking your parking cues from David Corley, because you did not run your route, my friend.
Wow. Too poor much. David Corley. Oh, man.
He's just trying to survive down there nice. With the Texans now. We just keep bringing him up
nicely
out of nowhere.
Done. Well, we ran our route, kind of. We did some navigating.
You improvised a bit.
We did improvise a bit, yeah. We were like KJ Hamler in the Appalachian State game. We were not supposed to return a kick, but we did, and it all worked out. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to a game later this year, if you didn't go Saturday and you're going to a game, get on that website and figure out how to get there, and make sure you, because there were a lot of angry people in front of us who were being turned around because they had passes for the, you know, the lots to come in on the east side and they were coming in on the west side, and says, oh God, please look, figure it out ahead of time. Don't figure it out once you get to State College, because it's too late then.
Run your route. No audibles allowed in the pregame parking situation. We got a lot more to talk about when it comes to Penn State Idaho. We didn't even get into the defense yet and that performance and what we can maybe try to take away, that when Penn State does start to play some big boy football teams, how that's going to apply. That'll start with Buffalo. We'll take a break and come back with that.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.